Epilogue. Austin hauled in the main sheet on his catboat, keeping the big sail tight to the wind while Karina handled the tiller. She pointed the wide bow toward a turquoise research vessel anchored near a Chesapeake Bay island. As the sailboat came up on the vessel, she made a quick turn into the wind and the sailboat plowed to a stop. "Nicely done," Austin said.
"Thanks. I owe it to my teacher."
Anthony Saxon leaned over the rail of the boat. He cupped his hands to his mouth. "Come aboard. We've got lots to show you." They dropped anchor and got into the catboat's dinghy. Austin rowed over to the turquoise vessel, which was a smaller version of NUMA's giant research ships used mainly for shallow water and coastal projects. As they were going aboard, Zavala surfaced and climbed onto a dive platform attached to the boat. He saw Austin and Karina, slipped his scuba gear off, and came aboard to greet his friends.
"Good morning," Zavala said. "Here to do some wreck diving?"
"Not today," Austin said. "We came by to see what you've found."
"Wonderful things," Saxon said.
He led them to a tank where at least a dozen amphora were submerged in water to preserve them.
"We've done preliminary x-rays. These jars are loaded with scrolls. This is bound to be a treasure trove of information. The Phoenicians sailed all over the world.
I'm hoping we'll find charts showing where they traded and descriptions of their voyages."
"Sounds as if we're going to have to rewrite the history books," Austin said.
"We've only scratched the surface, Kurt," Zavala said. "The wreck is loaded with artifacts."
Austin glanced at the water.
"How's Hutchins taking all this commotion?" he said.
"When we told Thelma about the salvage, she admitted that Hutch might be getting waterlogged," Zavala said. "She agreed to have his remains transported to land where she could be closer to the old guy."
Austin offered his congratulations all around. Then he and Karina rowed back to the catboat. As they hauled anchor and set sail, Saxon called out, "See you Saturday, Karina." She waved in acknowledgement, and minutes later the sailboat was gliding across the bay under the influence of a steady southwest breeze. They stopped for lunch in a quiet cove. Austin went into the cabin and came back out holding a bottle of champagne and two glasses. He poured out the bubbly, and they clinked glasses.
"I've got something to tell you," Karina said.
"I gathered that from Saxon's comment."
"Saxon has found new clues to Sheba's tomb in Yemen. He wants me to help him search for it. I still can't believe I'm Sheba's descendant, but I'd love to find her resting place. She was a remarkable woman." I said yes.
"I'll miss you, but it sounds like a fine adventure," Austin said. "When will you be leaving?"
"We fly out 3 days from now."
"Any suggestions how I should treat your Royal Highness in the meantime?"
"You've got 72 hours to find out," Karina said with an intriguing smile. "That should give you more than enough time."
Austin set his champagne down and took her glass from her fingers. He opened the door to the cabin.
"There's no time like the present," Austin said.
This is Scott Brick. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of The Navigator. This program was executive produced by Patty Peruse and produced by Dan Musselman. The Navigator is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group USA Incorporated, and Books on Tape. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. The book, The Navigator, is available wherever G.P. Putnam's Sons books are sold.